I wasn't sure if we were going to make it here this weekend. We had been planning on it, and some things came up at work at the end of the day on Friday. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes it's the end of the week, and somebody will come to you. There's a big problem, and you might have to work on it over the weekend. So I spent Friday night working on it. Oh, there we go. That was the batteries, I guess. So I spent Friday night working on it and were able to figure out what the problem was, so I didn't have to work on it yesterday. But they had wanted us to work Sunday on it too, and it was a pretty big deal. So I'm thankful to be here, and as I was thinking about that Friday evening, I was thinking about what the problem could be. My mind was all cluttered. I didn't know what steps to take next to try to figure this problem out. And I told the Lord, we were planning on being here this Sunday, and I really wanted to be here. And about a minute after that, a kind of light bulb went off in my head, and I knew what the problem was. So I was very thankful for that. And I'm thankful that the Lord is in our midst today. It says in Scripture, when two or three are gathered, there I'll be in the midst of thee. So He's here with us today, just like He's sitting out there in the crowd. And so I pray that He will. Got Siri talking to me now on my phone. I pray that the Spirit would be with us during our service this morning and during our sacrament service. I know that He's with us. So I had some things that yesterday. I wasn't sure what to talk about this morning. I was kind of at a loss. We've been so busy with other things and science fairs and work, and I didn't know really what to talk about. But I had realized there's been a thought that's been going through my head the last couple weeks, and thinking about myself and how there's areas in my life that aren't quite right now. There's some things I'm doing well, there's some things I'm not doing well, and I ended up having this metaphor, thinking about a guitar and the strings that a guitar has, and maybe some of my strings are in tune, but others aren't in tune. So that's the metaphor I'm going to be using today. But there's things that I need to work on, and maybe there's things in your life that you need to work on. Maybe all your strings aren't in tune. Maybe you're missing some strings. Maybe there's some people that don't have any strings at all, or maybe there's no instrument at all to play. Maybe there's people that have strung their instrument, and now that instrument for some reason is not available for the Lord to use. And that's what the Lord, He wants to use us, and He wants us to all be tuned up and ready to go, just like an orchestra is all tuned up. So I guess the first thing I just wanted to talk a little bit about is God, or as our Lord, as our Creator. And I thought about a luthier that makes guitars. At one point, I don't know, it's been years ago, I had bought a couple books, and I thought it'd be really neat to build a guitar one day. We don't have any place to do that. I don't have the time to do it. But I had also been looking at guitars, but they could be so expensive. So I figured, well, if I could make a guitar, maybe it'd be cheaper, but of course I'd have to buy all the tools for it, so I'd probably end up spending more in the long run. But we have God as our Creator, our Lord Jesus Christ as our Creator, and He makes us all, and we're all made a little bit different, but we're all wonderfully made, and I have a scripture about that. It's not this one, but Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou art potter. We are all the work of Thy hand. Every single one of us, we're an instrument that God has made that He wants to use for His purpose. And I have a picture of all these guitars up here. They're all different. They're all made a little bit different. But they're all wonderfully made, and they all have a purpose. And every single one of them needs to be in tune, and every single one of them is capable of producing beautiful music, every single one. Romans 9:20, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? And we think about our temporal problems that we have, or the problems we have with our flesh, with this physical body we have. We might be upset with the Lord about that. I find myself getting upset about problems that I might have, complain about them a little. But again, we're wonderfully made, and what's more important than the physical is the spiritual, right? We all have a soul. We all have a spirit. And God created that as well. It's perfect. It's a beautiful soul that's ready to produce beautiful music. God prepared it for a purpose. He's called all of us to a purpose. Psalm 139:14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. So we're wonderfully made. We're distinguished as people. And I looked up some of the commentaries about fearfully. I've read this verse so many times. I've used it before. Other people have used it before. But the fearfully is with regards to the fear we have for God. At least that's the way that the commentators interpreted it. That we're all, we need to show reverence to our Lord, to our God, and have a fear of God in our hearts. And that's the way they interpreted this. Ether 181, behold, this body which ye now behold is the body of my spirit, and man have I created after the body of my spirit. And even as I appear unto thee to be in the spirit, will I appear unto my people to be in the flesh. So he created us spiritually, and one day, our body's already getting old. It's growing up and getting old, and one day it's going to be buried. It's going to decay. It's going to rot. But the spirit is going to live on, and it's going to go hopefully to the paradise of God to be with our Lord. And then one day our soul and our body will be reunited. What we as people, as the, it talks about in the Psalms that man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. What type of music are we creating as spiritual people? What type of thoughts are we having? What type of thoughts do I have through the week? Is it covetousness? Is it jealousy? Is it pride? What is it exactly? And do I quench that? Do I snuff it out immediately? Or does it proceed to flow out with the words I say or what I do or what I look at? But it's the spirit is really where it starts. And when that's where we need to be in tune with the Lord. Psalm 101:5, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. He is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So, what are you? You may not be singing. You may not be really singing, but are you singing with your heart? Are the things that are coming out of your person, of who you are, or does it give praise to the Father? Is it good music? Is it pure music? Is it in tune, or is it corrupt? So here's a picture of a guitar. It looks like it's been worn a little bit. Some of the paint's coming off around the sound hole. It's got chips around the edges, and it doesn't have any strings. So this guitar has seen some wear and tear. But if it's ever going to produce music again, it needs some work. It needs some strings. This is a cartoon. Daddy, somebody turn the mute button on for this key. If you don't have any strings at all, how are you going to play music? If you're not able to take that step to become a Christian and make a covenant with the Lord, you're not going to have any strings to produce music. This guitar, it has a single string. It's missing some strings. It doesn't have everything it needs. It has some of it, that single string. So maybe maybe this could be in the area of doctrine. Maybe it knows doctrine. It knows what the scripture says, but it doesn't have other characteristics of love, you know, charity or compassion or mercy, and I've had examples for that. So maybe you've been fitted with all these strings, but maybe the strings are out of tune. Maybe you have some strings that are in tune and other strings that aren't in tune. This guitar is in the process of being strung up and the strings are all loose. You can't play a guitar if all the strings are loose. These strings just flap around. They're not going to make any noise. They have to be tightened up. And even after you tighten those strings up, they don't stay in tune. You know, they won't stay in tune the first couple of days, depending on how much you play it. But you put those strings on, and it's kind of difficult to get it at tune at first. It's a little bit more work to get that string where it needs to be. But once you get it there, you know, it'll stay there. It'll stay there, and you keep going with it. And you don't let it, if it gets out of tune a little bit, you just have to, you know, dial it back in. You got to dial it back in to where it needs to be. So we need to be constantly, whenever we're gonna play, that we make sure our strings are in tune. This guitar, the last string is going on. This is what I was talking about stretching these guitar strings out. And when you get everything just right, you have the Lord, our maker, and he has perfect technique. He knows how to play that guitar. And if it's in perfect tune, it's going to sound great. But if it's not, you know, he's not going to want to play it as much. So here's some examples. There's hundreds of examples I could have put on here for each one of these strings. You know, prayer, doctrine, compassion, reading. You're reading your scriptures. What comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your tongue? Faith. What's the level of your faith? Again, there's so many things I could have put on here. And there's even guitars that have 12 strings. You know, you don't limit it to just 6. There's a lot of different strings, a lot of different things that we need to work on. Psalm 33:2, praise the Lord with harps, sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. And again, this may be not a real musical instrument, but our bodies are instruments that can be used for the Lord. And we have all these different strings, these different things that we need to work on, different characteristics that we are to have in our life. So again, I've got strings in my life that aren't sounding right, they're out of tune, and I need to work on those things. 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and of not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know, maybe one of those strings isn't there, or maybe you've got that string and it's not in tune. It doesn't sound very good. It's like I thought of this verse here that, you know, maybe it doesn't sound good. Sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You need to have all of it. And I don't know what string would be charity. I was thinking about this. Would it be the bass note maybe? You know, it's kind of like the backbone that supports everything. Maybe that's what charity would be or love would be. This is what happens to guitar strings. You play them for a while, you know, your fingers sweat, you've got dirt on your fingers, and you get all this gunk that gets into the grooves, and it can just dampen a string. And so this first string is uncoated, and then in the middle here you've got other coated strings. They do an okay job to keep off the grime and the dirt. And they've got these brand of strings called Elixir strings, and they're coated, the entire string's coated. I have them on one of my guitars. They actually need to be changed, but they last a very long time. Maybe you're like this first string, and maybe your string is tarnished, it's all gunked up. Maybe you need to work on it. Maybe you need to clean it up. And this is interesting, I got a lot of stories, but there's story. It's my first year of college, and I had this guitar, and the strings weren't really sounding good anymore. And somebody told me, you know, you can boil your guitar strings to get rid of that and make them sound brand new again. And I said, no, I didn't know that. So we took the guitar strings off, and we took them over to this person's house. We put them in a pot, boiling water, and we boiled them. We put them back on, and sure enough, they sounded like brand new after we did that. So sometimes we need to service our strings, and sometimes we need to go through trials to clean it up. Take drastic measures to, you know, I'm going to tune this string up. I'm going to get it clean and sounding really good, but it's going to take a little bit of work for me to do that, but I'm going to stay committed to it, and I'm going to make a decision right now that I'm going to clean that string up. I'm going to get it done. There are different tools that a guitar player will have. He could go and he could buy different amplifiers. You know, you have that instrument, but there's things you can do to amplify that instrument. I was thinking about a prayer. When we pray, all pray together, and a dream that multiple people have had about prayer. There was one about the altar of incense and the smoke going up, and the devil was trying to snuff all that out. It was a dream this person had, and the devil was trying to snuff it out. And then this force of incense or whatever it was, I don't remember exactly what it was. There was more people praying, and it got bigger and bigger, and it grew, and the devil was trying to stomp it out, and he couldn't get it done. He couldn't do it. So, you know, one of our brother Adam, he talked about fasting a couple weeks ago, and that's one way you can amplify your music to the Lord through fasting, or just as we come here today and, you know, we unite ourselves in prayer. We're amplifying those prayers. We're amplifying them up. And there's other ways. So you can get one of these amplifiers. You can plug your guitar in, and that'll help. Some people stand up for their faith better than others. Some people proclaim it better than others. We need to get that sound out there. We need to get it out there. And there's a story yesterday. I think it's okay if I shared this, but at the science fair, Clara was sitting next to a girl in her grade, and the girl asked Clara, she said, well, what church do you go to? And Clara said, the Church of Christ. And she said, okay. And she said, well, I go to the Latter-day Saint Church. And Clara said, oh, okay. And I guess she asked Clara what they believe, and Clara said, well, we don't believe in a lot of things that you believe in. And then this other girl said, well, we use the Book of Mormon, and Clara said, well, we do too, but again, you know, we don't believe in all those other things. And then the girl asked Clara, she said, well, I was baptized when I was 8 years old. That's normally when they baptize their kids. And she said, Clara, have you been baptized? And Clara said, no. And she said, well, what age will you get baptized at? And Clara said, when we're ready. Amen. So it was a perfect response. So Clara was right on. But what I was thinking about is this girl. You have to give her some credit that, you know, she was there at the science fair, and she wanted to talk about her church and her faith, you know. And so she was amplifying that, and Clara was too. Psalm 33:3, sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. You know, maybe this isn't real music. Maybe just in your life you need to amplify the music that you're putting out. Well, there's not only amplifiers, there's all kinds of guitar pedals you can get. I mean, there's various ways, various gifts that each one of us have to make different sounds. There's a variety in the things that the Lord uses us for. This one here, I've got one of these. This is a looper, and it's a band creator. And so what you do is you play some chords, you play a chord progression, and this thing will figure it out. It'll figure what you're playing, and then it'll start playing it back. and it adds parts to it. It adds a bass guitar, and I'll add drums. It'll start playing the drums to the beat as well. And sometimes we find ourselves, well, we're doing all kinds of different things, right? I mean, maybe I have multiple gifts. Maybe there's multiple things that I need to be doing. So maybe I can get one of these pedals, and maybe I can realize that and take advantage of this pedal that I have, of these multiple things that I can do. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes it's hard, and we get worn out, and we get exhausted. But God has given you various gifts. This was something I found last night. It's a quote. Really nice and expensive instruments are capable of harnessing those overtones because of the way they're made and the materials that are used. As wood ages, more of those tones come out. That's why old guitars and violins are so highly sought after. It's sometimes hard to put your finger on why an instrument sounds so much better than another, but that's the reason. It's the tones of the instrument that you can't necessarily hear, but you can definitely feel. It's why when you strum a perfectly in-tune guitar, it feels bigger than life. But all this only occurs when you are in tune. And so I thought about this, and you know, it's true, as we get older, we get more wisdom, or we should be gaining more wisdom, so that we can, you know, produce even better sounds the older we grow in life. And I hope all of us do that. I hope we're at a better state now than what we were in the past. And that there's times in my life when my strings have been perfectly in tune. Well, maybe never perfectly, but they've been in tune for the most part. I can look back, but I've got some strings now that aren't in tune. So as you go through life, it's a constant process to always make sure your strings are in tune. This is a picture of a guitar that I have, and there's a story to go along with this. I traveled up to Chicago. We're looking for the right guitar. Traveled up to Chicago, and we got it. And brought it home, and I really enjoyed playing it. And then after a while, things got busy in life, and I wasn't playing it anymore. And I decided, well, I'm just going to sell it. I said I was going to sell it. So I sold it to, it was a professor that was teaching at a university close to where we live, and he wanted it. He really wanted it. So I drove about an hour south. He drove about an hour north, and you know, he gave me the money. I gave him the guitar, and he said, you know, one day I'm not going to play this guitar anymore. I probably won't play it anymore. I'm getting older, and you know, I might just give this guitar back to you when I'm done playing it. But that guitar was gone. It was no longer available. Me as a player, I couldn't play it anymore. The guitar, where was the guitar? It wasn't there. I'm the one that sold it, but I'm not going to use that as a metaphor, but maybe the guitar, maybe it just for itself decided it wasn't going to be around anymore, right? And we see that with people. They're not going to be around anymore. And the Lord can't use them anymore. So I couldn't produce music with that guitar. It was gone. But then, you know, years later, it's been like 2 or 3 years ago now. Years later, I got an email from this guy that I sold this guitar to, and he said, well, I'm done using this guitar. I'm going to give it back to you. I said, are you sure? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, I can pay back for some of it. I can't pay it back all of it I sold it to you for. And he said, no. So I had sold him this guitar. He paid for it, and he decided he was going to bring it back. So then he drove 2 hours back to my house. He knocked on my front door, and he said, here's your guitar back. And so it was a very special thing, a very nice thing that this guy did for me. But now I have that guitar back. I don't play it anymore as much as I should. Well, I don't know if should's the right word. There are other things that are more important, I think, than dedicating all my time to playing the guitar. But if this instrument was a spiritual instrument of the Lord's, you know, the Lord's going to use it. It's there. It's available again, and He's going to play it. He's going to use it to make music and to bless other people, because that guitar's there and it's available. Something else. I was listening to the radio. I don't remember if it was this past week or the week before, and there was the actor who played the doctor on MASH, the show from the 80s or 70s or whenever it was. I don't remember his name. Alden, maybe, is it? Alan Alden, yeah. And they were interviewing him. And he said, you know, I didn't know if I wanted to go into the arts or not. My dad wanted to be a doctor. But then I got to the point where I had a real passion and I wanted to go into the arts, and I knew I wanted to do it. I was going to do it, and I was going to make it happen. But he said, you know, if you're not at that point, if you're unsure, you need to be careful. Don't go and spend all this time going to college and learning about these things, whatever it is, because you might not make it, you know. And that's what happened to me. I started in music just for like a semester, and then I didn't want to do it anymore. So you got to be committed. You got to be ready to make that covenant, and you need to stick with it. That you're going to be an instrument with these strings and use them for the Lord's purpose, because we don't want to be strung up and ready to go, you know, after our baptism, and then we fall away, and we're no longer available to the Lord. Second Nephi 1:40, rebel no more against your brother, whose views have been glorious, and who hath kept the commandments from the time that we left Jerusalem, and who hath been an instrument in the hands of God in bringing us forth into the land of promise. So there's so many, there's a lot of verses in Scripture about being an instrument for the Lord. And this is just one. This is just the first one I really found. And, you know, to be like Nephi, Nephi was a really good example for us. There's all kinds of people in Scripture that are good examples for us. And they allowed themselves to be instruments in the hands of the Lord. Maybe you're an instrument. Maybe you got strings on you. But who's playing you as an instrument? What type of music are you putting out? You know, Scripture talks about Satan and the devil and how he can wrap his chains around us and, you know, be used for his purpose and to stir up strife and division. You know, who's producing that music? Who are you letting produce that music? What are your talents being used for? What are you as a person being used for? What do you proclaim in your life? Are they good things? Are they things that just aren't very healthy and not edifying and don't help people out? And I thought this picture was good, but sometimes there's things that come out of my mouth I wish I wouldn't have said, and I know sometimes people probably feel like this. They want to plug their ears up. Now, what does God think? Does he have his ears plugged up? Does he want to hear what's coming out of you or coming out of your inner person? Not even what comes out of your mouth, but the thoughts that are going through your head. Or is it just terrible, terrible music, terrible thoughts? It's a cartoon. I don't like your tone, Mr. Baines. So you're supposed to think, if people say that when they don't like the way you're speaking, they say, I don't like your tone, but you tone with the music, T-O-N-E. So that's the joke. What tones are you producing? What tones are you producing? And you know, when you have a musical instrument, you've got the strings on or whatever it may be, there's tones that come out of it, and there's these waves, these sine waves that come out of it. But you know, that if you're playing multiple sounds at once, you want those sounds to tones to agree with one another. You don't want them to be in conflict with one another. So what type of tones are you producing? And this is an orchestra. I was going to bring this up on the computer, but I didn't. I think I got it on my phone. This is an orchestra, and I want you to listen to this. I'll just kind of hold it up here. I think this will work. Thank you.
some talking going on too, so I don't know if maybe they already got their instrument in tune or they're not going to mess with it, but the conductor, he gives the orchestra a chance to get everybody in tune. And so they take the time, they want to be in tune. If they're going to produce this beautiful music, they need to make sure that they've got each instrument in tune, it's ready to go, each string in tune, and then they're going to start playing the music, and hopefully it'll be beautiful. And hopefully they've taken time to practice as well, and they're ready to go. And so they start playing. So each one of us is an instrument. Each one of us is an instrument for the Lord to play. And this one cartoon lets up the tempo from 4, so these are mathematical equation, for 4n, 3 minus x over r to 3p, 7 divided by k to the third power. So I thought that was funny, but sometimes the tempo may increase, right? The tempo may increase in our life, or we may be put in some environment that we don't necessarily like, and we need to be ready. Our instruments need to be ready to go, so that they can play at this faster tempo. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I've got the same verse in 3 Nephi 5:53. And blessed are all they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. So, you know, you read Matthew 6 and it leaves off with the Holy Ghost. I always wonder, what does filled mean? Well, it talks all over in Scripture about being filled with the Holy Ghost. And for me in my life, I don't know about you, but for me in my life, I've used this as a gauge, whether or not I'm filled with the Spirit. I can go to work, I can sit there all day and, you know, have no conversation with the Lord, not even really think about things of the Lord or about my faith. And, you know, I go through a whole week even maybe and I won't feel the Spirit. I believe that, you know, we all have been given the Spirit. If we made a covenant with the Lord, if we walked into the waters of baptism, if we received it with the laying on of hands, this is all available to us. And I was listening to, I think it was a sermon, it's been a long time ago, and there were some people, they were fishing in a boat, and one of them, I think, was maybe the son of the other, and the son, and they were talking about maybe spiritual matters, and then the son said, you know, this is the first time I felt the Spirit in a long time. And so I've always remembered that. And we pray and we hope that the Lord's Spirit would be with us today, maybe just as you're sitting out there in church today. But for this to happen, we need to be in tune. We need to get our instruments in tune. Ezekiel 33:31-33, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. So these are the words of the Lord coming through the prophet. But we all go to church. We're a church here today, and we're getting our instruments tuned up as we sit here today. But maybe there'll be a testimony that somebody shares today, or maybe something I see, or maybe something you're praying about, something that's good, something that's right, something that you say, yes, I need to work on that. But then we leave church today and we don't do anything with it. It's just like this verse. Somebody was that instrument. The Lord's used somebody as an instrument, and they produced some good things, some good tones, some good music. And we hear it, and then we leave here today, and we don't do anything with it at all. So we need to feed off each other.
you know, I want to listen to your music, and I want it to be good music. I want to produce some music in my life. I want it to be good music, so that we can be a blessing to one another, and then we can have an entire, you know, well-sounding orchestra. Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So we have a lot of opportunities in life. I mean, we've been coming to church for weeks and years, year after year after year, and we know what we are to do, and that's why you're here today. So we can't neglect that. There'll be no excuse for any of us if we do neglect it. So that's my last passage. Amos 16, 2:26 to 2:34. And it's such a great passage. It's a familiar passage. But you can't say it enough. And page 430. And verse 226, it says, "And now, my brethren, I would that after ye have received so many witnesses, seeing that the Holy Scriptures testify of these things, come forth and bring fruit unto repentance. Yea, I would that you would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer, for behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. Therefore, if you will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought unto you." You know, are we letting our hearts be hardened? Are we letting those strings build up gunk? They need to be cleaned. "For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Behold, the day of this life is a day for men to perform their labors. Now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance unto the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh a night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. You cannot say when you are brought to that awful crisis that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Nay, you cannot say this, for that same spirit which doth possess your bodies at the time that you go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in that eternal world. For behold, if you have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, you have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Therefore the Spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you, and hath no place in you. And the devil hath all power over you, and this is the final state of the wicked." And the devil's holding you as an instrument. And there's something I saw on Facebook, somebody here today posted, and it showed the Lord Jesus Christ returning, and it showed all the Christian souls, I suppose, going up to meet him. And I don't remember exactly what it said, but you need to be prepared. You're not going to have any more time. You have to be ready. You have to be ready to go, because after that, you're not going to have any more time. So, you know, again, this is just as much as me as it is for you. I've got strings that are out of tune. I've got things that I need to work on in my life, and I suppose each one of us do. So we really need to make an intent to fix these things, and we need to do it now. We need to do it right now. So, you know, it's important to remember this and not to walk out here today and not make any changes. I want to be right with the Lord. I want to be ready. I want to be used as a blessing for others, you know, so that the things of God I enjoy doing. I enjoy coming to church. I have a passion for it. I enjoy reading my scripture. I have a passion for it. I enjoy going to a reunion because I have a passion for it. Or going to conference because I want to go and I want to be there, not because I have to go, because I want to go. So So I hope that was helpful, and I think there were some good metaphors and some things for us to think about. I thank you for your time. It's good to be here today.